January 1st, New Year's Day, the whole year is ahead of us. We haven't even messed up yet this year. It's just, you almost don't want to move. Just let's just stay like this, and it'll be a perfect year. But that's, we won't get into specifics. Yeah, that's probably right. We all have probably done something here already. But so I'm just looking at this and just starting off this year, calling it 2012, a red letter kingdom year. And so a new year, a new calendar, a fresh start, 12 opportunities to grow, change, improve, correct, arrive. Beyond getting fit, getting rich, getting organized, etc., there's Jesus' standing agenda for us to live as gossipers of our gospel, to give away what he has so generously given to us, and to love with the extravagant love he has shown to us. To make this a red-letter kingdom year, let's consider a radical plan with five components. And so that's what I want to do this morning, just look at five things that this one author, David Platt, suggests. And we are, as believers, as followers of Jesus, as those who've found life in him, it's kind of a critical thing for us to think about how we live. And at the beginning of the year, it's no better time to ponder, how am I doing? Let's take a, you know, kind of a check, don't go through a checklist, and how am I doing in all of this? And just these two verses from Jesus, what we call Jesus' high priestly prayer, in John 17, 18, I've written it down there, I have sent them into the world. And so Jesus is praying for his disciples, and he said, I have sent them. And so we're sent into the world. And then verse 20, he says, not for them alone, but for those who will believe in me through their message. And so Jesus is not praying just for his disciples, that they would be protected and safe and all of that, which he did. But he said, not just for them alone. There's a whole sense in which this gospel that we've received that is now ours, it's our good news now because we live in it, but it's also for those who would believe in our message. And just looking through this book, Operation World, and it's some of the statistics say out of the world's population, about a third of the population is considered Christian in one degree or another, which means there's about 4.5 billion people on the planet that have not heard of Jesus. And so the work going out into all of the world that those 4.5 billion people might believe in Jesus through our message, as Jesus sent them out and said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and to the uttermost parts of the earth, that still stands. That's still something that is ongoing. And so as we look at these five things, I think there's an urgency to be about this work of getting this word out. I think one of the things that Scripture says, until all have heard. And so because the world's population is growing at such an incredible rate, that for us to reach the world, there's going to have to be some major effort here. And so here's what he's suggesting here in this five-step thing. Number one, pray for the entire world. Your blank's entire world. And you go, wow, how on earth would you ever do that? Well, one of the tools that's available through this organization called Operation World, they have this is their newest book, the newest thing out, has write-ups of every country in the world. And they've also, on their website, operationworld.org, you can actually see an alphabetized list of all the countries in the world. And so I printed it out. But so they have it alphabetically like this on their website. And if you're on the website, the other thing is it's interactive, so you can click on each of the countries, and it pops up with all kinds of information about the country that helps you when if you're praying for that country, you can actually get some information. Some of the countries I looked at, I'm like, I didn't even know that was a country, but you know, you got to keep up with these things these days. But it gives you geography, the peoples, the language, the religion, and it gives answers to prayer and challenges for prayer and more information. Often there's, for each country, there's a video clip of somebody maybe praying in the native language of that country. So there's all kinds of information on operationworld.org. And also, there's just a great deal of information, of course, on the internet. Everywhere you go, you can find information about these things. And as we would consider praying through the whole world, which they give the list for, at the end of the year, if we do that, we have gone through, we've taken in the whole globe, and we've spent time praying for specific things in these countries about using the information that is there. So I think that's a great challenge for us, and they have a calendar in there as well on their website, so that each day they give you an idea where to, what country to pray for, and what specific things are there. And then as we do that as well, we can always stay up on what the current situation is, because this, especially in the Middle East these days, what's going on there changes from day to day. And so it's good to have current information as we pray through. But those tools are available to us either from the book. I think the book is $24.99, but it's everything that's in the book is available for free online. So if you're old-fashioned like I am and you like to have the book in your hand, then that's good. But otherwise, it's all the information is there online to look at. And so praying, one of the things about praying for the whole world, not only does it introduce us to some of the geography, you end up having to look some of these places up and go, well, where is that anyway? And what do we know about these people? I think that's really helpful, since one of the things that Jesus did clearly to his disciples is sent us into the world. And so none of the corners of the world are unknown to him like they are to me. And so I think it's kind of an important thing to pick up and start working through. So the countries are listed alphabetically there from Afghanistan to Zimbabwe. So you've got the whole list there with more information probably than you could even pray through, but it's a great opportunity. And at the end of the year to know that, wow, in 2012, we have prayed for every country in the world. I think that would be a great thing to get to know. And as we pray, I think the other thing is we need to recognize that God is going to do work in our hearts at some point and go, oh, you're praying. Even though it's on your list that today is January 1st and Afghanistan is the country or whatever. I mean, as we spend time praying, we can also, because we're agreeing with the Father for his blessing for that country, for those people who are maybe unknown to us, we're also putting ourselves in position of being captured by the heart of the Father for those people. And so we may discover all kinds of things that we weren't anticipating, but I think those are going to be delightful surprises as we walk through this year, if we take this challenge to pray for the entire world. So breaking it down with the Operation World Calendar makes it doable. It's something you can do on a regular basis, and we can see God at work in our own hearts as we do that. The second thing, not just praying for the entire world, which is just a small thing, but read through the entire Bible. Number two is read through the entire Bible. And again, Bible, one-year Bible, read the Bible in a year. There's tons of programs. There's even now one is read the Bible, I think it's called. Just read the Bible. Anyway, it's an app for your smartphone. So, and it actually gives you the scripture for every day. So you can actually have it right there. If you've got a smartphone, you can have the scripture that is for that day. And just read it through, and it takes about doing the Bible in a year. It's about a 10 to 15 minute reading per day to run through the whole Bible in a year. And some of them even have catch up days if you got behind or something like that. So anyway, it's all available online to look at in bookstores. Also, Christian bookstores have various things. There's actually a 1 year Bible. Does anyone even have a 1 year Bible? So, and they do it, they break it down by day as well, what you are to read. So praying for the entire world, I think, will change our hearts in a huge way. Reading through the entire Bible exposes us to books of the Bible that maybe we have never looked at. Maybe just skip over stuff and think, well, there's nothing in that book. It's kind of boring and whatever, especially all the begats. if you've got a King James Bible and you know, you read through all the genealogies, etc., and it's begat, begat, begat. But I think even in there we can find things that are inspiring to realize that somebody has recorded, and here are these actual people that, and each name that we read, even though we have no idea and nothing else is mentioned of them except maybe the name in that genealogy, those, that was someone who fully participated in their family and in the life that was going on at the time. So even though we aren't aware of who they are, they're a critical part of the story of God's people. And so even through the genealogies, I think there's some interesting things. And of course, if you're about to become parents or something, those are always good ways to find names that no one else has ever used. And for good reason, sometimes you can't even pronounce them. But anyway, so reading through the entire Bible is just, it's interesting. You can even do it chronologically. So our Old Testament is divided up into sections, whereas there are some Bibles you can get that are actually in chronological order. So in the correct order, so one thing happens after the next in the right sequence, whereas ours kind of splits them up, and we've got the law in one section, and we've got the history books in another, and poetry in another, and prophets in another. There's a way to read through it in a correct way. So you can actually look for chronological Bible if you prefer to do it that way. So anyway, that's a good challenge for us, I think, to be. That just makes us biblically literate. We've actually read stuff, and we force ourselves to go through it in a consistent way. And God can use amazing ways, I think, the opportunity that we put ourselves into to read the entire scripture in 366 days, since this is a leap year, I think. All right, number three. Not just praying and reading, but sacrificing money for a specific purpose. A specific purpose that is mission-oriented. A project. Doing something to help someone else. And whether it's locally or somewhere else in this country or across the globe somewhere. But taking a section of our monies and setting them aside in a sacrificial type of way to go toward a specific purpose, a specific project. So even to the point of not buying, not doing something with our money that we would have done because we have decided we're going to do this or be a part of a specific project. And just in a similar way as we did with the yard sale, and we raised $1,000, so $500 is to the homeless. We haven't dispersed that money yet, but the other $500 went to Natasha House, and that money has been sent, and we have a letter thanking us for our donation. So there are specific things we can do that we know that we've actually spent money in a specific way for a purpose that is not just for our own selves, just for our own enjoyment. So praying and reading and sacrificing. The fourth thing is spending time in another context. In another context. The scriptures are clear on this whole thing of, as Jesus says, I sent them into the world, going to others who need to believe through our message. And so this whole missionary thing of sending out, moving out, not just to other countries, obviously, but sometimes just in other contexts. It could be downtown Newport News. It could be any number of contexts that are not ours, but spending time specifically. And so, taking a week or something to give ourselves to actually living in, experiencing another context that is different from ours, to participate in something, whether it's a building project or whatever kind of skill set we might have that we could offer to someone else, or just be there to encourage or work in a soup kitchen or whatever it is that we have done in the years past. One of the things that we've done here is taken a couple groups over to provide childcare for the kids, the little kids and the bigger kids, at the conference in France as we were gathering our Vineyard church plants together. And so those are that's spending time in another context. You're going over, and the French were just amazed that we would come. It was like, I can't believe you're over here. You came all the way over here on paying your way. We're not giving you anything, and you're here at this conference not to participate in the conference but to take care of our children, so we're free to be involved in this, in the sessions. They still talk about it. And so, you know, whatever we would choose to do, whatever God would lead us to do, spending time in another context is a very enriching thing to look into. And I'm sure, you know, if we ask, you know, ask around, ask Sarah what other types of things you can be involved in, I'm sure Sarah probably has a few things that she thinks we could probably get involved in. And so, you know, there are just tons of things that God would lead us to as we work through and as we look at what he might choose for us to do. And then the fifth thing is commit yourself to a multiplying community. A multiplying community. And so I think that's what we are here at the Vineyard. And we're all about life and moving on and giving life away. And so I think we're, those of us who are here this morning and many others as well, are committed to being a part of this community. And so growing numbers, unfortunately, of believers are less and less involved and less committed to multiplying in church communities. So they're kind of on their own. They've been discouraged or whatever, put off by things going on in church, and so they no longer go. And so instead of being a part of a community that is healthy, that I think the word really encourages us to, more and more people stay away. So we're already golden on that one. I think we're here this morning on January 1st, in spite of lack of sleep for many. And so that already shows a commitment to a multiplying community. So these five things, I think, are really kind of, some of them are a little bit more challenging, but they're basic Christian living in some ways, as Jesus would have put it to his disciples. And so praying for the entire world is an incredible thing. We have so much information, we'll probably be overwhelmed with the information that's available to us. Reading through the entire Bible is always a great thing, discovering books and truths that maybe you've never heard before, sacrificing money for a specific purpose, and, you know, denying ourselves some of the luxuries that we have. And as many point out, especially in Operation World, if we make more than $10,000 a year, we make more than 85% of the world makes. So that's putting it in perspective. Spending time in another context, that is always an eye-opener and something that ends up tugging at your heart. Even if it's just a weekend or a week or something, it really does change how we feel about other people, other situations that we don't see on a normal basis. And then committing ourselves to a multiplying community. One of the things I think we often go through is, we'll just close here in a few minutes, but one of the things I think we get caught up in so much of the media stuff and so much of world circumstances, and we hear it always from a heavy and a negative perspective, and we forget. It's easy to forget. It's easy to get caught up in the angst of our day, and everything is negative. If you ever watch a newscast, and it's all about who was killed, who was shot, how many people died in this accident, who died in this house fire, and, you know, just over and over and over, you know, it's like, okay, could somebody just throw in one little piece of good news, something encouraging, you know? Even something cute, even if it's a baby seal or something, you know, it's just amazing how it could get overwhelming. And so in the midst of all that, I think we forget that we've been given such a high calling, and God is in charge, as we sang. And so in spite of the storm and the trial and the drama that goes around, and this year is not going to be any less filled with those things, we're aware of all of that, But a higher truth is that God is doing something, and God wants to accomplish something, and we're it. I mean, we are what God has chosen as a means of getting the job done. And as some say, there is no plan B. We're it. And so if the gospel is going to get preached, if Jesus is going to become known to the 4.5 billion people in the world that don't know him yet, God's going to use us in some capacity. And so just one of the stories I was reading in this book by David Platt that is real interesting, just wanted to read this as a fresh perspective, I believe. He says, I was in Indonesia, the country with the largest Muslim population in the world, teaching in an Indonesian seminary. Before they graduate, the students in this seminary are required to plant a church with at least 30 new baptized believers in a Muslim community. I spoke at their commencement ceremony, and as the graduates walked across the stage, I was captivated by the humble yet confident look on their faces. Every one of them had fulfilled the church planting requirement. The most solemn part of the day was a moment of silence for two of their classmates who had died at the hands of Muslim persecutors. It was a privilege getting to know these students and listening to their stories. One brother, Raiden, shared his testimony. With a fiery look in his eye and an intense tone in his voice, he said, before I became a Christian, I was a fighter. I learned ninja, jujitsu, and a variety of other techniques for taking people down. I nodded. I was making a mental note. Don't mess with Raiden. He continued, one day I was sharing the gospel with an unreached village with people who had never heard of Jesus. I was in one house sharing Christ with a family, and the witch doctor from the village came to the house. Witch doctors and magic men are common in villages like these. They hold sway over entire communities with their curses and incantations. The witch doctor called me out, Raiden said. He wanted me to fight him. Raiden smiled as he confessed. My first thought was to walk out there and take the witch doctor down. But when I turned to go outside, the Lord told me that I no longer needed to do the fighting. God would do the fighting for me. So Raiden walked outside, pulled up a chair, and sat down in front of the witch doctor. He told his challenger, I don't do the fighting, my God does the fighting for me. Raiden recounted what happened next. As the witch doctor attempted to speak, he began to gasp for air. He was choking and couldn't breathe. People came running to see what was wrong, and within a few minutes, the witch doctor had fallen over dead. By now, the entire village had crowded around the scene. Raiden said, I had never seen anything like this before, and I didn't know what to do. But then I thought, I guess this is a good time to preach the gospel. Raiden smiled and said, so that's what I did, and many people in that village trusted in Christ for the first time that day. Now, I'm not recommending this as a new church planting methodology. Making pronouncements on people that lead to their deaths just doesn't seem to be the best way to go about things. But this story was a clear reminder to me that 2,000 years ago, when believers proclaimed the name of Jesus, it caused the blind to see, the lame to walk, and the dead to rise. The name of Jesus had the power to cause evil spirits to flee and to bring the most hardened hearts to God. And the reality is, 2,000 years later, the power of Jesus' name is still great. The question for us, then, is whether we trust in his power. And the problem for us is that in our culture, we're tempted at every turn to trust in our own power instead. So the challenge for us to live in such a way that we are radically dependent on and desperate for the power that only God can provide. So I just thought that was interesting. I would love to be in a situation where I would trust that I could walk out and sit down in front of a witch doctor and say, God is going to do the fighting for me. Now, I don't know whether it would be exciting to watch somebody choke to death in front of you or not, but, just to know that God works in this powerful way still, and for us to say, hey, as we're praying for the world and reading through the Word and putting money away and thinking about spending time in another context and keeping ourselves committed to a multiplying faith community, maybe God will reveal himself to us in that same way. And so the healings and the power that we pray for, that he would come and would manifest himself, maybe he's just waiting for such a time as this to say, wow, is there really a group of people that's serious about me showing up, not for all the glam and the glitz, but just to show my power so that God would get the glory. And I just think that we might be odd enough and eccentric enough as a group that God would just delight in doing that just to astound not just us, but those around us. Is what you're kidding? God did something at the Peninsula Vineyard? Wow, this is noteworthy. And so I just think it's a great challenge for us at the beginning of this year to have the hope that Charles was talking about and to look forward to this year and say, there are going to be a lot of challenges. There are going to be a lot of difficulties along the way, no doubt. And Jesus certainly made that very clear to his disciples. You know, when the world hates you, he said, don't be surprised. It hated me first. And now that you're mine, the world will also hate you. And when they do ugly things to you and against you, thinking they're doing the right thing, don't be surprised, because it has already started. And we hear all kinds of stories like that, where people have suffered and continue to suffer for the name of Jesus in the world. And there are many places in the world where it is still criminal activity to worship the Lord. And people still lose their lives for the gospel. And so I think that's really an amazing thing. A couple of months ago, when I came back from Colorado Springs, I was telling you about our speaker that we had that was from Istanbul, Turkey. And the Vineyard church plant in Istanbul has open house once a week, where the doors are just open and they have people from the church who are there throughout the day. And the local imams from the Muslim community, they're regularly confronted with people who need healing and deliverance that they don't do. And so these imams send their people to the Vineyard church. They say, we can't do that, we don't do that, but, you know, go over here, these people know how to pray for you. And I just thought that was pretty incredible, that the Muslim community would even look at the Vineyard and go, that's not something we do, but these guys down here do. And so the imams actually regularly come in and visit and have tea and chat and ask questions and stuff like that during the open house they have. And so God is up to all kinds of fun and quirky and wild stuff that the news media is not going to tell us about. And so it's good for us to have that kind of information when it comes our way, and to share some of the fun things and the exciting things that God is doing as he builds his kingdom. And I think we have every reason to believe that God would use the likes of us. I mean, he grabbed this, you know, group of 12 unruly dudes who really hardly knew what they were doing and left them in charge of this incredible thing of building his church and building his kingdom. And because they had been with Jesus and they had learned from him, they were successful, and we're here as a result of that today. So I think even if we make up a ragtag bunch here, God can still use us. And I think it's just some excitement that comes as we consider the possibilities that maybe God would do something in our hearts this year in 2012 that we would never, ever have expected. And as we look back, you know, at the end of this year, as we look back on December 31st of this year, and we look back and we see what God did, you know, it'd be great to have just a time where we would share some of these incredible stories. Like, can you believe what God did? And so focusing on him is our goal, not losing track, not losing sight of that, not being distracted by all the screaming voices around us, but just fixing our eyes, and this is where we're going, this is who we're going to, this is who we worship, and all the rest, I think, finds a place to fit in as we take our highest priority seriously. All right, let's pray together as we close this morning. Father, again, we give you this year. We believe that these 12 months are fully known to you, and you know all of the events. You know what you're calling us to. You know the challenges in front of us. You know the suffering. You know the hardships. When the darkness closes in, as we've sung, Father, we will still say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, you are from all time. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You don't change. And so just because our circumstances change and we face various circumstances this year and we're forced to wait for some and struggle our way through other painful circumstances, and even if we're forced to say goodbye to people, still we will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. You give and you take away. Blessed be your name. So as we look at these 12 months, Father, for all that they hold, the joy that's ours, the assurance that is ours, is that you've already walked through each one of these days before us. And we will never face anything where your provision is not available. So, Father, as we contemplate taking this challenge to pray and to read and to sacrifice and spend time in up our commitment even here to this body. We ask that you would guide us, that by your Spirit you would open up just whole areas of secrets in you that we didn't know, that our souls would be refreshed and we would become new and refreshed in you, and like we've been born again, all over again, and that you would restore to us the joy of our salvation. So, Father, thanks for this year. Thank you for all the hope and all the good reason we have to be hopeful, because you don't change and you will accomplish your purposes. So we bless you. Thank you for this day, for your provision, for health, for guidance, for jobs, for all the things that we're waiting on and looking for, but for all the ways that you direct and guide in this year. And before we see the result, we will give you praise, because we know you're about doing it even now. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, well, Happy New Year.